This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The fierce fighting in Iraq over the past week has diminished considerably, with a fragile ceasefire holding in Fallujah, west of Baghdad, and the situation stabilizing in Najaf in the south. Iraqi officials have been holding talks with the radical Shiite cleric Muqtada Sadr, whose anti-American rhetoric touched off a wave of attacks on U.S. forces in several Iraqi cities. NPR's Anne Garrels is in Baghdad. What do you know about the negotiations with Sadr?
Well, the delegation of senior Shiite clerics continue to meet with him amid the first signs of some easing tensions. In Najaf, Sadr's militia has withdrawn from police stations and government buildings they've taken over. And in the other holy city, Kerbala, residents say the numbers of Sadr's militiamen on the streets are way down. Other than urging calm on all sides, Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, one of the most powerful Shiite clerics, has stayed largely silent while Sadr's followers were stirring up the trouble. Clerics then said the situation had to be handled very delicately. In Kerbala, many residents over the weekend told me they feared Sadr, wanted him out of town. In Najaf, we've seen leaflets that have been dropped reflecting anxiety about Sadr. But even people who oppose Sadr don't want the U.S. military to come in with guns blasting. They fear an assault on Sadr, especially in the holy cities, would just provoke more anti-American violence and cause the death of innocent bystanders. And basically, there's a widespread belief that the U.S. is to blame, that it made the situation worse by threatening and cornering Sadr at this critical time.
Any indication the U.S. is supporting these negotiations with Sadr?
Not yet. In fact, the U.S. is giving mixed messages. Last night, General Sanchez, who's head of the U.S. ground forces here, said his mission remains to kill or capture Sadr. On the other hand, General John Abizaid, head of all U.S. troops in the region, said there could be a uniquely Iraqi solution to the crisis. He didn't say what this might be. And we don't know what concessions the clerics might be offering Sadr in their talks and if the U.S. will go along with them. In the meanwhile, troops have moved towards Najaf. U.S. forces have been raiding Sadr offices throughout Baghdad and in other towns, and one of Sadr's aides was reportedly detained by U.S. troops in a Baghdad hotel this morning after he concluded an interview with Italian journalists. It's unclear how this move is going to affect the negotiations down in Najaf.
How's security in Baghdad?
Once again, mixed messages. General Mark Kimmett, the occupation spokesman, has said Baghdad is firmly under Iraqi control, but the deputy commander of the 1st Armored Division here, General Mark Hertling, says the situation is not yet under complete control. More hostages were taken in the last 24 hours, this time 9 Russian and Ukrainian energy workers who were kidnapped from their home here in the capital. There's no information who did it. The Russian embassy points to the rapidly deteriorating security situation, and officials told NPR they blame the U.S. largely for this.
In the past couple of weeks, police and Iraqi defense forces reportedly have fled their posts. What's the situation now?
This is a real problem for the administration. In their efforts to shift greater and greater responsibility to Iraqis, the U.S. had relied on U.S.-trained Iraqi defense forces. They're called the ICDC. This is a force somewhere between the police and the new army, but they've proved to be highly unreliable. There aren't any hard figures on how many have disappeared or defected to insurgents in the last week or so, but U.S. officials say it's clear they can't be counted on. And the police, with far fewer resources, is even more unreliable. Last month, 4 men arrested for killing 2 American civilians were apparently members of the Iraqi police force that the Americans had trained. Last week here in Baghdad, we saw Iraqi police keeping their distance as protesters took over government buildings. Posters all over town urging Iraqis to turn to the police for help have been blacked out, scratched out. A member of the Iraqi defense unit I spoke to this morning was still on the job, but he told me he was considering quitting because of threats. The Minister of the Interior resigned last week, not as stated, because the U.S. wanted to maintain an ethnic balance in the ministries, but apparently because he was out of it, just in despair. And even U.S. officials, who weren't thrilled with his performance overall, conceded he just hadn't been given the necessary support to adequately arm and train his men. And then, of course, there's the Army unit, which refused to take part in the fighting last week. This was the first time the new Iraqi army had been put in danger and under pressure. And they balked.
NPR's Anne Garrels in Baghdad.